up, bang?
What's going on? Woo. What the
you
dealie?
Know, fucking with some dials.
Yeah, that's actually literally what I am doing right now. Is like I'm making it look like I'm busy over here, turning all the dials and the buttons, and like, yep, totally know what I'm doing.
That's right.
All right, let's see here. I'm going to make some changes on my end so we don't get all these funky noises coming through. Leave me alone, people.
What are you talking about? I like the funky noises, only when they're real funky.
Yeah, I don't know that the listeners like hearing me get text messages and emails.
Oh, no. Those aren't funky. I mean, like, I'm talking like P-Funk, some bass guitar. Boom, 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 boom.
Before we get into anything, I gotta say this.
So, yeah, fucking can cracker.
Salute.
Salute, homie.
Oh, it's been a while since I drank beer.
Beer?
Okay. Yeah, I'm out of mixers for the tequila, so it's beer. Beer it is.
Yeah, it's still school night.
What does that mean?
That means it's not a heart straight tequila night.
Oh, am I not supposed to be drinking tequila on Thursdays?
Normally you use a mixer on Thursdays. Fridays, oh, fuck the mixer.
God, straight tequila. Got it.
That's
got
right.
It.
That's okay, right.
Yes. That's for tomorrow.
Right?
Anyways, what's up, man?
Man, I don't know. Just been watching the lot of shit. Watching a lot of shit.
You know, we were absent for a couple weeks and then we came back with the first power, which great fucking episode, dude. Good loving the editing.
Yeah, we're working on it.
There was a spot where it was like where I was like, oh, take them to church, and then like the church bells rang and I was like, that was dope. Alan's killing it.
We're getting there. We're getting there, man.
But I realized how age that episode is, because you were still talking about Paralympics.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, that was a while ago.
Yeah, bad. You know, it takes a minute to get things edited and out, and then, you know, life happens in between.
I will say though, if you are listening to our show and using that as scheduling for you to watch Paralympics, do more, do better.
Yeah, they deserve way more representation. You should be watching it anyways. That shit's amazing.
I just meant like we are not the source for timely / accurate information
or sports news pretty much at all.
So speaking of timely and accurate information,
oh, how I beat you at fantasy football. Speaking of sports.
Motherfucker.
It was like last week.
No, didn't I win? I won both leagues last week. What are you talking about?
Maybe it was the week before. See, even I'm behind on my fantasy sports.
Hold on.
Now, it was the week we recorded together 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I lost last week. I lost to...
You're like, never mind. I lost everything.
No, I lost in one league and I won in another. But I will say our league is the one that I care about more. But I don't want that to sound derogatory, because the other one I'm in is like a father-son league. So like it's me and Connect and then Tony and Donovan. I think Ruben's in it with Riley, and then Daniel and his kid. And then we needed to round it out. So Peter and Ari played too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that one I'm winning 2-1. And then our league, I'm 1-2.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a difference when you're in your probably your first year of the father-son tournament, whereas like the homie league's been around for like 15.
Yeah.
Shit.
Ooh, fuck. That's a long time.
It's been a while.
Speaking of losing, how about them Cowboys?
I'm sorry. Do they normally win?
Sorry. I just saw a text message from Jose. So I was like, oh, yeah. That's still a thing.
Oh, yeah, they played tonight. Go figure.
Oh, shit, they did. The Giants, right?
Yeah. That's probably why he was texting. He was like,
I forgot to set my lineup. You know what's funny is most weeks I forget to set my lineup, I end up winning.
I mean, that's because you got a good draft, bro.
Well, auto draft. Auto draft, auto play, auto win. Fuck it. What am I here for?
That's what she said.
Speaking about timely information, current events, everybody by now should know that we are co-hosting the very first annual Happy Frights Film Festival here in our little out of nowhere town, Fillmore.
Bum, ba, da, bum.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's growing too, man. Let me kind of walk you through it. So Friday is going to be kick-ass because that's going to be our 8 o'clock showing of Night of the Living Dead, the original 1968, the George Romero classic, the one that kind of started the whole zombie craze. That's going to be.
But wait. How are you going to be watching that?
That is going to be shown on 16 millimeter print.
Oh, shit.
That's going to be dope. And
none of that digital crap.
It does. The projector does 5.1 surround sound. So I don't know how that's going to work with that being on 16 millimeter, but we'll see. It's going to be dope nonetheless. Yeah. Totally. Then Saturday is the whole kit and caboodle for the film festival. So we are doing 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. all day of movies. Movies starting at 12 or 12:15 and then going all the way through about 10 o'clock. We have registered the film festival with Film Freeway. So those of you who are movie producers and directors, you can submit your projects to the Happy Fright Films Festival on filmfreeway.com. Submissions are only $15. So we've got a large influx of those. I think at last look, we have like 26.
Nice.
So that's going to be dope. So I think the way that we're structuring it is we've selected three features already, and then we're padding the rest of the time with shorts. We're also going to have Poncho Moeller out, who is from Rob Zombie's 31 and Three from Hell. He's going to be doing some stand-up comedy to introduce Cannibal Comedian. So that's a good segue there. We have a movie by the name of Creeping Death, which is currently trending number one on Screambox, making its L.A. debut at the film festival. So we'll have director and cast out for Q&A. We also have another movie called Night of the Missing, which is an anthology that will be premiering and also doing director and cast Q&A. And then we're going to have a live band. The plan at the moment is to have them at the end of the night to kind of do like a end of the night little like jam session slash party. But we might just move that to the bar across the street and hang out there.
Yeah, bring the love to the other businesses.
While all of that is going, next door we will have horror vending. So we've already confirmed 5 or 6 vendors, maybe 7 or 8 actually. Talking to a couple more. So vending will be taking place throughout the day. Toxic Doom is going to be one of those. Scream Queen Club is going to be one of those. Couple other. So it's going to be awesome. We've got a classic pop-up arcade coming through. Some cosplayers are coming through. Like, it's gonna be involved. Like, it's a lot, and it's sometimes just like dumbfounds me on how big this thing is gonna be for our little town and our little podcast. So buy your tickets online, happyfrightfilms.com. Or you can check out our Instagram at Mutant City Horror. You can check out the Instagram for the theater. That's Fillmore at Fillmore Town Theater. And then at Sean_Heights to see Sean's Instagram page. And it's all there. So we're running ads on Facebook, on Instagram. We've got people reposting our stuff. All good stuff, man. It's a lot of work, but like, I think it's gonna be worth it. I just ordered a bunch of like posters and flyers and gonna start handing that shit out and posting stuff up at the stores here and looking forward to it, man.
I mean, where else could you have that much fun for $15? I mean, vendors, multiple films, a bunch of shorts, opportunity to catch up with like crew and actors. I mean, and you mentioned horror vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't like a bunch of horrors?
Careful.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
nah, yeah. But to your point, it's $15 for the whole weekend, right? $5 if you just want to come on Friday, $15 for the whole weekend. So you might as well come for both.
Dude, get yourself a picture in front of
The marquee. Yeah.
Yep. Like, you got to do it just like everybody else. Run into that theater.
There you go. So yeah, man. Lots of stuff happening on that front for sure.
Yeah, man. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm still not, like, Perla keeps asking me. She's like, "Are you excited? Are you stoked?" And I'm just like, I think I'm just too busy, like, talking to so many different people and, like, spinning so many different plates for me to be, like, hyped up about it, to fanboy out about it, you know?
Yeah. I think, and when it's all done, you're gonna be like, "Fuck, it's all done."
Yeah, yeah. And I'm occupying one of the tables here at the vending hall. I'm gonna set up and do a couple podcast sessions with people coming through, kind of like the same way we did it at the Garcia house, where, like, "Hey, sit down, what's up, talk to me, you know, what's your favorite scary movie, and, you know, how'd you hear about the festival, and like and subscribe, please like and subscribe." please
poor favor.
Nah, but it should be good times. It should be good times for sure. So maybe when I'm in it, like, it'll be fun. And lanyards with, like, passes on them, I guess. So we'll do one for the staff, and then we'll do another for the talent, and then, you know, we're doing wristbands for tickets. And yeah, dude, it's exciting for sure. Whew.
Needless to say, fuck yeah, dude. Good job
to you too. It's group effort.
Oh, are we gonna double dutch shredder?
All right, moving on. I think that's your way of saying let's move on. I got it.
Virtually the virtual shredder.
Now, keeping in line with excitement and enthusiasm, I don't know that I have much about this movie we're about to talk about.
No.
I mean, there were times where I was watching it and I was like, "Fucking Alan." I kept reminding myself, it's a full moon picture.
Yes.
It's written and directed by Charles Band. So
the one and only.
What else should I expect? But even then, there were parts where I was like, "Fucking Alan."
The movie's called Hideous. It doesn't necessarily represent the cornerstone of fucking B horror, or does it? It does in a hideous manner.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a level of it where, like, it made me think about some of the other things that we've watched, right? And a lot of these were before your time here on the podcast. So Matt and I watched Things, Day of the Reaper, stuff like that. You know, Day of the Reaper was shot for like $1,000 on a weekend or something. And I don't know how the fuck Things got made, but it did. It just made me, like, I know with those movies, I guess the expectation is set up front. But with this one, I was like, I don't know. It was different. Like, it felt worse than those, although it obviously had better budget than those and more planning. Sorry, I'm not trying to shit on the pick, but it's hard not to. All right. You want to take a crack at introing us in?
Not at all, man. That is you.
You got it. Tonight, the monsters are running amok, and we head towards that theater where the marquee now reads Hideous.
Ah, oh, what the hell is this?
It's just one of them things.
At the Pony Valley Sewage Treatment Facility, strange things are surfacing.
Honey, I gotta tell you, when I first looked into those two pairs of baby blues peeking out at me from that bottle of denatured alcohol, I thought of you.
Open the box.
It's not human.
She's sneaking behind my back with that gauche, undiscriminating collector of medical garbage, Napoleon Lazar.
I say, if you can't beat him, join him.
It's not an animal.
Don't move, little froggy!
You hold! I'll
kill you! I'll kill you! Come back!
In fact, it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
You two want to be left alone?
I think we do.
So what do we do now?
Simple. All four of us take a little ride over to Lorca's and get back your goober.
It's hideous.
No one is leaving here until my specimens are returned.
It's alive!
Deformed.
I want my specimen back.
Devious. Depraved. Hideous.
I mean, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is not normal.
A 1997 Full Moon Charles Band picture. Now, it's Full Moon, so if you know anything about Full Moon, it's Full Moon. And it's written and directed by Charles Band.
It's directed, not written. Written by Neil Marshall Stevens.
Sorry, maybe produced and directed.
Yeah, definitely.
That produced. Sounds more. Yeah. Okay. But stars a few people. One of which is Mel Johnson Jr.
Oh yeah, the driver, the cab driver,
dude. Right? Where did I? We just watched Total Recall.
Yes.
And like.
The OG version, yeah. Not the new one, the OG.
I think it was here. I don't remember. It was a couple weeks ago, but like, yeah, dude, it was awesome to see him in that shit.
Fuck yeah.
It also stars Rhonda Griffin. She plays Elvina Shaw. She plays, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the movie and then we'll get into the characters.
Oh man. Okay. So this is a creature flick. This is one where you've got some eccentric people who are trying to like bid on this biological trash like that they're basically finding. And anytime you have some eccentric fuckers bidding on some biological trash, something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's
what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird business to be in, right? But I mean, I'll give the movie that. Like, they set up that premise well, but also at the same time, like, you have two eccentric billionaires that live in the same city who collect the same thing. That's kind of weird to me.
I bet what happened was one caught wind of the fact that the other one does the collecting and was like, oh yeah, well I'll collect too. Cause that's how like they do it. You got to keep up with the Joneses or the Napoleon Lazars. Oh, as his name was. Yeah.
I know, it took me a second because they kept referring to him as Nappy. And I was like, I think that's kind of racist. And then the name is Napoleon. I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. It's just funny. Cause I just finished watching Napoleon on fucking Apple TV.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah, it was 3.5 hours of fucking boredom, man. Dude. But there's this one scene, I'm going to have to find it on YouTube, right at the beginning where a cannon hits the fucking horse and just like obliterates it.
Oh,
it
nice.
Looks so fucking dope.
Nice.
Anyway.
If I was going to invest 3.5 hours into a movie, it would be Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
I haven't seen it. So.
It was good.
I'm still optimistic about it.
I trimmed back streaming services, so Apple TV officially got cut off today. And so I was watching everything I could fucking watch before it went. Anyways, hideous, fucking hideous, man.
Are we gonna walk all the way through this thing?
I mean, how do you want to handle it?
I kind of want to just like shit on it. Not like should like bash it, but like I don't know that it's worthy of like a full walkthrough.
Let's
that's
do it,
my opinion. What is your opinion? What was your plan coming in?
I don't know what my plan was. In fact, like I was kind of apprehensive because I threw out like, hey, this is the movie to watch. And then after we sat down and I watched it on my own, you're like, I'm going to watch it tomorrow. And I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it right now. And so I put it in and let's put it this way. Jenny was like asking me this morning, she goes, so how did that movie end? Like, and I was like, I'm fucking confused. And like, I sat there and was watching it too. Like, I was like, I don't know who killed who. And I don't remember how someone died. And like, I was lost. I was a little like, fuck. All right. Well, this is just a B movie. And like, it's got some like fucking little creatures, which is dope. But
this, yeah. So the movie to me is very much like a bunch of friends got together and was like, hey, we should make this movie and it might be funny if, and like, let's use whatever resources we can, except that it's
full moon. It was filmed in Romania.
It
was filmed in fucking Romania. Yeah. So they didn't just get the homies together. They were like, all right, let's book a chartered plane in another country, set up shop in a castle, and film over the course of a couple of weeks.
It is full moon. Then Charles Band does do that. We talked about that a lot on our when we did the little arc special we did on, maybe when we were still in video on YouTube. So this is like season one stuff. That's not on it's not on Spotify. So you'd have to go digging through YouTube to find that shit. But we did this like 3-episode arc, me and Matt, where we talked about we did a movie called The Brain, which starred David Gale. And then we did, I think Reanimator was second, or maybe Castle. No, it was Castle Freak. And then it was Reanimator, because they're all kind of loosely associated with each other in, you know, like 6 degrees of separation. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in Castle Freak, is a full moon production, and they shot it in a real castle somewhere in Europe somewhere. And, yeah,
it may have been here.
No, I'm like pretty sure it was, overseas.
Well, Romania is overseas, bro. When I meant here, I meant like, as in the same place that Hideous was filmed.
Oh, got it. I was like,
I was like, you got me.
Romania is overseas. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Fire is hot.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me give everybody at home kind of a high level overview of this movie, right? So, as you mentioned, it's about these eccentric millionaires who collect rare biological oddities, right? And the movie starts with these with a shot on these guys working at a sewage treatment plant. And their job is to just stand over this big vat of sewage and just stick a, what do you call it?
It looked like their job was to keep shit from blocking the lines, like to keep things moving. So they had like a pool skimmer, and they were like digging into the into the dirty ass vat of shit and trying to like skim out the shit so that it could go down the drain. Yeah.
And it was the grayest of water, dude. Oh, it was so gross.
Yeah. You ain't watering your front lawn with that shit.
They got the gray just right, dude. Good job for them.
It's the Romanian gray.
And they're talking about it's three dudes, and one guy's like new, and the head dude in charge is like,
all right, you boys, I know you're both new, so this may seem a bit strange and unfamiliar to you at first. Just gotta pace yourself, that's all. That's the key. Keep the sewage flowing. That's the idea. If something bad comes into the trap, it's our job to fish it out. Fish it out, dump it in the bins.
He's like, but you find all kinds of shit here. And like the old guy, I think, like found $5 and he was like, yeah, you can keep that. That's fine.
Yeah, the other one's all like,
embryos.
Embryos?
You know, don't want it around, flush it down.
Bullshit.
And parts of babies.
Yeah.
Arms of babies.
And then he just like, and then the head dude just like looked at the other guys. He was like, my wife's wedding ring. I found that.
I got it right here.
But all of a sudden, the new guy, he's got a bite on his line, right? And he pulls it up, and it's like, it's, I don't know, you can't even tell what it is. It's like wrapped up.
Yeah, it looked like just like this big old,
like a cocoon almost.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck would I call it? Like a vat of just fat? Did you ever see where this dude made an island in like, it was like in Norway or something? It was an island of fat. No. And he literally just kept pouring hot fat and it would like solidify until like he had an island of fat.
No.
You could walk on it and shit. It reminded me of that.
You know,
plus shit.
Okay. So I work in cybersecurity. And one of the things I talk about all the time is that if the bad guys use their powers for good, we'd be in such a better place socially, right?
Absolutely. But then would they be bad guys?
I think that same standard applies here. If you took that time, energy, and creativity and channeled it for something productive, what could you do with that? Instead, you made an island of fat.
Which I think it's like from an artist's perspective. He had like something he was trying to say. I don't understand that, but like he does. And because he does, I got to talk about it right now.
Just do what the rest of us do. Make bar soap out of it and sell it at the department stores.
Selling the fat right back to him.
Okay, so the dude fishes out this big old fucking cocoon, adult-sized, like a human-sized, like looks like a maggot almost.
It reminds me of Krang from fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'll accept it. And the head dude's like, oh.
I'll take care of it. That's my responsibility as head of the shift. So you two can relax. Everything's under my control.
So he takes it and he wheels it off and he ends up calling this lady and he's like, hey, I got something for you. And she's like, what is it? And he's like, it's the shit, right? They kind of do the Charlie Brown thing where like we hear him on the phone, but we're seeing her talking to him. And it's just like, oh, 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 oh. And she's like, what? So she's like, hold on to it. I'll be right there.
And she looks like the epitome of a fucking chick in power in 1997. Like she's got that like certain look about her.
Like that deep red lipstick, smoking a cigarette, yeah, like power suit. Yeah,
yeah, totally. Looking hot.
Yeah.
Just looking hot.
So she jams to go pick up this specimen because it's supposed to be like the shit. And at the same time, her assistant is eavesdropping on the phone. Who I gotta say, she was probably one of my favorite characters in this movie. She was so fucking dumb. It was hilarious. And so she ends up calling this doctor. His name is Dr. Luca, Dr. Lorca, played by Michael Citrinti. I know I'm butchering
that. Nailed it.
Yep. Thank you. He hasn't really been in a lot of stuff. He's like some side work here and there. He was in Goodfellas, kind of an extra stand-in.
He looks like a guy who would be an extra in Goodfellas.
I gotta say though, he does this Romanian accent, I guess. Now I didn't know what the accent was, but I'll accept Romanian accent really fucking well. So either they got him there or like he learned it really fast.
That and the Sopranos accent he's got down.
I got it.
That's it.
So the receptionist, whose name is Elvina Shaw, played by Rhonda Griffin, she calls the doctor and is like, hey, my boss, who is Belinda Yost, played by Tracy May, is like, she just left to go get something like really cool. So, you know, giving you the heads up. So there's like some backstabbery happening, right?
Oh yeah. There's, like I said, one rich person's like, oh, you're into that. I'm going to be into that and I'm going to do it better. So if I'm going to do it better, I got to hire your people to tell me when that shit goes down so I can intercept. You know what I just realized?
What's that?
Chick who I'm calling a hottie is like the most dressed chick in the entire fucking movie too.
That is not wrong. Yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about it like that.
I didn't either until just now. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay, so we cut to the sewage plant, and there is the head dude in charge, who we don't see after this, so I don't even care to remember who his character's name was. Sorry, my bad. Didn't mean for that to sound shitty, but he was there.
He was probably like Jerry O'Donnell or something.
You know what? I did see that name in there. It was Jerry O'Donnell, and that's the detective. That's the private eye. Yeah. But part of me was like, did that say Jerry O'Connell?
Same. I was like, wait a minute here. Are we going to get the chubby shuffle or what the fuck's it called?
No, you're thinking of the Goonies. Yes. And that's the truffle shuffle. And that is not Jerry O'Connell. Jerry O'Connell is another fat kid in another kid's movie.
Stand By Me.
He's in Stand By Me. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. I get my fat kids mixed up. I used to look up to all of them being a fat kid myself. I was like, there's a chance for me to make the industry. That fat fuck did.
Okay.
And then he married Rebecca Romaine Stamos and got all thin and whatever. They divorced. Yeah. Then he fucked someone else.
That is your weekly dose of Jerry O'Connell news. Thank you.
Anyways.
Okay. So they're at this power plant. It's the dude that works there. It is the broker, I'll call her at this point. That is Belinda Yost, played by Tracy May. And then it is the one and only Mel Johnson Jr.
Yes.
And he's playing one of the eccentric billionaires who is there to buy rare biological oddities. And she brokers this deal with him for like 600 grand. And then apparently this thing is like
200 a year for 10 years.
Yeah. Something crazy like that. But for some reason, this is the specimen, right? Like everybody, they're like, this is it's like the
good.
Tickle Me Elmo of the weird biological oddities. And so he makes this deal with her and he's like, okay, I'm going to buy it. It's cool. Let's go. And on his way out and back to his place, there is a car sitting in front of or at the base of his private road. And you know how we all knew it was his private road?
This is my private road.
How?
There was this fucking billboard ass sized sign that said private road.
Yeah, that's right.
It was almost as comical as hanging a sign over your secret lair that says secret lair entrance here, you know? Yes. But when he approaches the car, right? He stops, he gets out, he approaches the car to see what the holdup is. What does he find in the car?
Don't move, little froggy.
Wasn't it the topless chick with the gorilla mask?
It was the topless chick with the gorilla mask. Pointing a gun at him.
What is this?
Well, I mean, do you need more? I'm shocked. Didn't she ask her something about what are you doing with a gorilla mask?
I think it was more like, why? Because it's snowing, right? It's the dead of winter. So I think it was more like, why are you out here in baby shorts and you're topless?
Why are you walking around like that?
She lets him know.
I'm free. I'm proud. I'm woman. Now wrap your arms around that tree.
And I was like, well, let's hear your roar.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, if I understand correctly, I think what happened was the actress refused to go actually topless and show her boobies. And so the alternative was they hired some other chick and threw a gorilla mask on her and was like, there you go. They're never going to know whose boobies those
are.
Wait,
is that real?
I think that's real.
No way. I don't think so because look, all right. So, I mean, you might be right. I haven't looked into it, but I am looking at her IMDb page. She's played by an actress named Jacqueline Lavelle. And just looking at her IMDb page, she is known for movies such as Forest Bathing, Friends with Benefits, Crush the Serpent. But more recently, she's done movies called Sci-Fi Vixens from Beyond, Femme Aliens, Seductions of the Species.
Lolita 2000.
So
nothing that she would show her boobs in. Nothing. I mean, not even everything that you seduction of the species. I get those fucking words mixed up sometimes. Well,
she did do the narration there. Forest bathing, friends with benefits.
TNIA too. I mean, come on.
Come on. So you might be right, but you also might be wrong.
I'm probably wrong.
Either way, this dude gets jacked for the alien specimen biological oddity by a half-naked woman in a gorilla mask in the dead of winter in the snow at the base of his private road, where there's a big sign that says private road.
100% not the way you want to get jacked. Very
full moon so far.
Overall, though, dialogue's not bad. The acting isn't horrible.
The acting is not horrible. That's the thing. Everybody delivers in this thing.
That's right.
But it's long, and there's so many parts of it where it's just dialogue, and it's just these scenes that go on for too long.
That's the problem.
And the score, which is done by Richard Band, it's just too quirky, and the specimens are too small. It's like a freak show puppet master type thing.
It's like fucking the neighbor kid in fucking Toy Story making some fucking melted dolls into some shit. Yeah, I get it. But I mean,
okay, so the robber, her name is Sheila, right? She works for Dr. Lorca. She's his muscle. So she steals the thing, takes it back to the castle, and he's like, great, I've got the thing.
Yep. He's got it locked up in a special security system while Sheila gets held at gunpoint, right? Or while they start holding him at gunpoint. I'm jumping it.
Yeah. So what happens is Napoleon, or Nappy as they call him, who's played by Mel Johnson Jr., ends up going to a private detective along with the broker.
All right, okay, let me just see if I can get this straight in my head. There are these guys who sell freaks in bottles,
and you're like this class A big time freak collector,
biological oddities.
You're right. And like your job is selling the freaks in the bottles that this guy buys.
That's right.
You're like the chief freak broker in this freak collecting underground.
Remember the skeleton of the elephant man? Michael Jackson wanted to buy it.
He didn't get it.
He didn't come to me.
Yeah. And now my problem is you sell this really hot shit freak to him for some undisclosed sum. And somebody rips it off at gunpoint.
And keeps me handcuffed to a tree for the next 14 hours.
So why don't you go to the police?
Well,
the thing is, Mr. Cantor, although what we do is not considered illegal, it has a
creepy?
Unsavory reputation. The legal situation is, a rather gray area.
And we want to keep it gray. Thus, no police. We know where my specimen is.
We can't be sure.
Oh, I can be sure. It was stolen by one of the most depraved, immoral, and covetous creatures on the face of the earth. Dr. Emilio Lorca.
Can we hire you? We pretty much know who took it. It's this guy's competition. So they all go to the castle along with the secretary, because they find out that the secretary was the one who like told the doctor. They get there and they're arguing about, you know, who owns the thing or whatever. And they're threatening to steal it and take it away. But then the doctor doesn't want to let them out of the castle. So
I will have my babies back. Sheila, seal the castle.
What did you just do?
Just listen.
Thank you.
like hit the button to like drop all the shades, and now they're all locked in. And
it's like that sis lock in.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
And throughout this, you're seeing those like beakers and test tubes, the big huge specimen jars with like liquid moving around, and these like biomasses. It reminded me of like fucking Aliens 3. You know?
Did you finally watch that? I know you were talking about going back and doing an Aliens run.
No, I haven't had a chance to get to that. Instead, okay. I watched like fucking The Littlest Reich, fucking Puppet Master and shit. Yeah, thanks, Evil Death.
I'll tell him you said that.
It was worth it.
So, okay. So the two collectors, right? Dr. Lorca and Nappy are like going head to head about who has the better collection. And Dr. Lorca's like,
I, sir, am a gourmet of the unusual. You are nothing more than a gourmand.
I have the most complete collection of
biological trash. You come here barking at my door like a mongrel. Very well. I challenge you. Even a man who putters through life in a creaky succession of little lime green Honda Civics knows the superiority of the Rolls-Royce when he sees it with his own eyes. I will show you my specimens. If you can claim in good conscience that a single specimen of yours surpasses one of my own in perfection, then I am prepared to assure you that your missing specimen will be returned. If not, then you will disappear from my life forever, and I will hear from you and your cohorts no more. And, matters stand as they are, do you accept my challenge?
Gladly.
And he was like, okay, bet, let's do it. So they go to look, and he's sees them all, and he's like, yeah, these are dope.
I lost. Want them.
Yeah, but he wants them, right? So then they start arguing about some shit, and then, like, the lights go out, and then, like, the little things get, like, they break out. So the new one that they added, the one that Dr. Lorca stole and put in the vial.
The beast.
I guess, like, awoken all the other ones, and they all came to life. And then they broke out, and they, like, got into the vents. So Dr. Lorca thought that somehow these guys that were just at their house for the very first time, who he's been keeping an eye on the entire time, somehow magically stole all the specimens.
You'll never get away with this.
Neither will you. Where are my babies? What have you done with them?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Liar. You were in the study alone. No one else could have touched
them. Quiet down, you two. Behave yourselves. Listen, you were only out of the study for a minute. How could he have found this place, hidden the goobers, and got back out in that length of time?
I don't know. Perhaps Mr. Lazar can answer that question himself.
So that's why he didn't want to let anybody out, right? He was like, nope, everybody needs to return
my
shit.
No one's leaving until I get my shit back.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But then, because no one can come to a resolve, somehow the detective, the broker, Napoleon and the secretary end up getting locked up in a room, and then, like, they hear this knocking at, like, the door.
Hey. Hey. What is it?
Listen.
Where is it coming from?
It's the other side of this wall.
More of Lorca's prisoners, no doubt. He may have dozens for all we know.
Well, there's a comforting thought.
And they're communicating with the specimens through a series of knocks. And
is one of the specimens, it looks like committing witchcraft or something.
It's not.
It's got like a book open. It looks like it's all making these like.
So yeah, I did watch it with the subtitles on, and like it calls it demonic murmuring. I'm like,
oh no shit.
It sounds cool. It sounds cool.
Agreed.
But no, what you find out later, because this thing starts writing notes to pass under the door, is that this thing is so highly advanced. This is the one that they stole and brought to the shop. Yeah.
The dumpster baby. That or the
sewage baby. Woke up all the other ones, is communicating with them telepathically, has learned the English language through reading and sophisticated communications, is manipulating the minds of the other ones, and then is trying to get out by writing notes and leaving them under the door and telling them, the people, the humans, that if they don't let, they call them, the detective calls them goobers, they don't let the goobers out, they're all going to die.
You know, that sounds just like my friend's ex-wife. I'll let you figure out who that one is.
I already know. So there was some really good points in this movie where I was like, you really expect me to believe that? And then almost immediately after I thought those things, those words were said by some of the characters in the movie.
That's right.
We'll hold on a second here. Hasn't anybody noticed anything strange?
Like what?
Like the fact that these freaks are, like, alive. I mean, that's a little bit odd, even for you. I mean, you guys are all Dr. Locke's freaks, right? You were all pickled in bottles, dead. I mean, somebody, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is not normal. These guys no longer fall into the category of being, like, biological oddities.
Well, of course I understand that. They are unique biological oddities.
So there's a little bit of it that made me feel good about the fact that they recognize what this is. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think the detective was like, you really, like, I think when the doctor was explaining what I just explained, although never ever seen or interacting with that thing, he's just kind of assuming.
Yeah, just taking everyone's word for
the
it.
The detective was like, how the fuck do you know? Or some shit like that. And I was like, hey, that's what I was thinking.
I love it's like the fourth wall almost.
Yeah. So they get the door open. The humans tell the goobers, like, oh, you have to find a crowbar with the slanted edge and, like, then pry the door open. And I'm like,
now, wait a minute. Just, like, let me just small. Throw something out there real quick. Let me just pause for one moment. This entire movie is like an hour, 15 minutes, maybe.
122.
Yeah. 122 includes the entire, like, the ending, which, by the way, has like a little brief moment of
if you say end post credit.
It does.
Where's my phone?
Oh no, you know what, I don't think that I may be mixing up movies. I watched The Puppet Master, which is very close. It's a full moon picture, also very close, very good feel into this, and I may be mixing that up, but everything you're describing about, like, the knocking on the wall, this whole interaction between the goobers and the fucking attorney, like, slash slave owners or whatever the fuck these rich motherfuckers are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even start until like 55 minutes in. So, like, you had to deal with 55 minutes before we start getting into this juicy looking creature reading the book and transcribing Latin and shit.
Yes.
So that is, to your point, one of the big flaws of the movie in the pacing. Like, you just didn't need to argue so much. And, like, I appreciate that they bring in Jacqueline Lavelle Sheila, the personal assistant,
yep,
who literally is wearing just a fucking vest, full open, no bra, never a nipple, though. Never a nipple. Denny was like, that is some really, really good tape that she's using. So if it wasn't for these little, like, beautiful glimpses of what they throw in here, I don't know, man. That 55 minutes was rough.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Again, it's acted really well. Like,
really well. And the dialogue's fun.
The secretary is my favorite, man. She's so dumb. Oh, me too?
Now listen carefully, everyone. No one is leaving here until my specimens are returned.
What? Me too?
Oh, no. You can go.
Oh, thank God. So now how do I get out of here?
She was being sarcastic, you moron.
Huh? Well, that's not very funny.
Please, everyone, sit down.
What, me too?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you.
You're fired. You're fired from everywhere. You're fired from the fucking universe.
Huh? Oh, shit. Anyways, what happens? They get the door open. The little goobers come out. They all get freaked out. The goobers start attacking the people. They take shelter. They're trying to figure out a way to get out. So are the goobers. And then, like, somehow people start dying. The secretary was the first one to die. She was, like, running away from one because she was sleeping. And they, like crept up on her and, like, under a blanket but above her shirt, figured out how to unbutton her shirt. And then, like, start sucking on her
nipple. Yeah.
And, like, leaving all this, like, gooey, like, oozy. Yeah. It was fucking gross.
She was getting into it.
And she was way into it. Half asleep, but way into it.
There's that other chick who, like, the goober who's kind of like Sonic the Hedgehog meets fucking, I don't know, a mecha version with the little like metal spikes out its back like a porcupine.
Yeah.
And it spikes her in the ass and she's got like all these quills sticking out.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I couldn't even like make heads or tails of these things, dude, because they're so small and they put them in a dark light, which is probably like intentional because let's hide the shame, you know what I mean? Right. Probably not enough budget to make it look good. And
keep it wet and keep it dark.
That they did. So she dies in an attempt to run away from them. And then the next person to die is the broker. She was like going downstairs into a basement and then like one of them stabbed her with like a knife or the crowbar or something.
Yeah.
So then she died and then the two collectors started fighting with swords. So there's like a duel in the middle of all this like havoc or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Because while everybody's trying to like survive, the collectors still want their fucking specimens.
Yes.
Like they're like, I ain't leaving without that shit.
Yeah. And they're like trying to like convince the specimens to like they're fucking dogs or babies. They're like, come to Papa. Like they literally said that's a line in the movie. They're like, come to Papa. And he's like, no, don't listen to him. He's not your Papa. I'm your Papa. And I was like, oh.
Is that when like one of the goobers grabs a gun and starts firing on them?
Yes.
Where the fuck do you get a gun from?
You know what I said to that?
Of course. Of fucking course.
No, what I said was fucking Alan. Anyways, they all die except for the private detective who's like your typical like New Yorkin. I liked him. And
what? I don't carry a gun, but you can fight, right? Yeah, I can fight.
What am I, a bodyguard? Get a bodyguard. So he lives and then, the personal assistant, Sheila, she lived and then like, they just left in his car and that was it. And then they like cut back to the mansion and there's like, oh, one of the goobers lived. Oh, because what happened was, okay. So here's how they got out. So there's a couple, like the doctor has these like floor tiles that will open up like Mr. Burns's office, you know, where you just push the button and
excellent. Release the hounds.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to stick the dogs on me or the bees or the dogs that shoot bees? So when they bark, they shoot bees at you.
I love that shit.
So when you open this door or these doors on the floor, it opens to an acid bath. And so that's how Dr. Lorca died. The floor for the acid bath was open. He fell in. And then he told Sheila, like, not avenge my death, but take care of my babies. And she was like, okay. So then when it was just her and the detective, she had the code for the lock to get out of the castle to, like, open the shutters. So she was calling the goobers over, like,
all right, you little bundles of fun. I know you can hear me, so listen up. You know what this is? This is the way out. You punch this number in the panel in Doc's chair and all the doors open up. Come on. Now we can all die together. Come on, little babies. Come on. That's it. That's it. Come on. One big happy family. Come on, you little bundles of fun, you. That's it. Come on.
My little angels.
Walking over to her, and as soon as they got there,
booby trap.
She just like scooped them into the acid bath, and I was like,
"What are you waiting for? Let's go!"
Really? That's how we defeat the monsters, is just push them down a well.
I mean, it worked pretty good for Terminator 2.
But at least he like went. There's now I know why you cry.
No, wait a minute here. Like, you're gonna bitch. You're not bitching, but you're gonna bring up the acid bath ending. How did the first power end? At a sewage treatment factory where he falls off the fucking platform into an acid bath.
Yes. Terminator 2. To your point,
that was the melted metal at the Kaiser Steel factory.
Tim Burton's Batman, right? Yep. You see Jack Napier fall into the vat of acid. Even throw street trash in there.
Yeah.
But you know the differences between all of those and this one? No. I got to see all of that stuff. Here, this dude just like falls in a hole in the floor and like there's a blue light and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, in those same examples, especially with like the Terminator one, there's a motion behind it. We see him slowly going in. We get to see the whole thing. Like
the sacrifice.
Here, she was just like, scoop. And then that was it.
Felons. You know what I thought was going to happen when that trap door opened? Like what I was hoping was going to happen is that we were going to be like, see this whole world, like the fucking Kindred underground, like where it's just like now all biological and like basically the whole fucking place is just taken over.
Yeah, that'd have been dope. I would have also accepted like a smashing of all these things because they're very fucking small.
Yeah.
At least like, give me some guts and some ooze and like some violence. Instead, it was just like,
yeah, you're right. To your point, I think the biggest one was the one who they found, like the mastermind, and it was like the size of maybe a basketball. Not very big at
all. Yeah. And that's hideous.
Yeah, they drive off in the keyhole through the trunk. You see like there's a little creature still hiding away inside there, so.
Is that what it was? I thought one of them like hung on when she scooped him into the acid bath.
So they get into his like dope fucking, of course, his convertible with the top down just parked outside for an indiscriminate amount of time.
In the dead of winter?
You know.
Yes.
As they're driving off, they show like the trunk of the car and you see like in the like the light from the keyhole, the eyes of the creature, and then roll credits.
Mm.
So I'm telling you, part two, you never know.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do it, man. You've moved on. You've moved on, sir.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like, I did it. It happened.
I'm glad I did. It works.
I mean, your work is work, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, this is also the same dude who brought us Ghoulies. Ghoulies 2.
You know, like, I fit Charles Band somewhere in between Roger Corman and Lloyd Kaufman.
Lloyd Kaufman? I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, like, quantity-wise, like Lloyd Kaufman, right? Just pumping him out.
Ooh.
But not so much quality as like Roger Corman, in the sense that like how many people started their career with Corman, right? How many fucking bangers does he have under his belt?
That's true.
And if you do some digging, you can find some really kick-ass Full Moon Pictures movies, but not, I don't think at the level of like a Corman. And then Trauma is just Trauma. You know what I mean? Like other than like Toxic Avengers, and I'll throw Rabid Grannies in there. Like,
don't forget about Poltergeist.
I mean, that
I did
that too. Yes.
I tried to forget about it.
But
fucker.
I'll still watch the stuff. You know what I mean?
Of course.
That's,
of course.
That's the shit. They know they've got people like you and I where, like, we will still watch it. Fucking Toxic Avenger is one of Perla's favorites.
Well, I mean, come on. Toxies is, man.
It's a staple, man. It's a staple.
I mean, well, we got a whole bunch more fucking Full Moon coming because I may have bought the year subscription. So
fucking asshole.
Let's do it. Dude. Okay. So I didn't realize at the time, but the year subscription comes with a DVD box set also.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So see what that turns out to be.
Okay.
We'll see what that turns out to be. It's either like the first like 8 movies on Blu-ray that Full Moon did, or it's like the entire Puppet Master box set or the Evil Bong box set. We'll see what they decide. Master is like 12 movies, dude.
Watch it just be 8 copies of Hideous.
Well, then I'll share.
Okay, quick Google search. The first 8 movies produced by Full Moon Features: The Dungeon Master, released in 84. Trancers, also released in 84. Pulse Pounders. Then Puppet Master, Puppet Master 2, Puppet Master 3, Trancers 2, Dollman. Is that 8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, Dollman. Huh.
Oh, yeah, Dollman. He's actually pops up in other movies. Like, he's got like some little cult thing going on. I don't know all about it to like successfully talk about it, but he pops up.
Isn't Dolls a Full Moon movie?
It should be.
I thought it was.
We'll find out.
No, why is it? Oh, you know why? Because it's a Stuart Gordon movie. Stuart Gordon directed it. That was the whole thing with Yark. We did The Brain, which I believe is directed by... I don't think it was. I think the only connection that The Brain had to Reanimator and to Castle Freak was that it had David Gale in it. So David Gale was our connection to Reanimator or Castle Freak. And then, I don't know, something like that. I've had too many beers.
No, you're good. You're good. Okay, so Dollman is a character that was done. It's a science fiction action movie. He's a 13-inch tall doll. And he's like trying to save the universe. And I was trying to remember where he pops back up. And he pops back up in the movie Dollman versus Demonic Toys. The movie Demonic Toys and the movie Bad Channels, which Matt and I started and never got to fucking finish the recording on. And Dollman has a small like cameo in there.
Nice.
I was like, who the fuck's this doll randomly? Oh.
All right. So that being said, we'll just wait and see what Full Moon has to offer us next week.
Maybe. Actually, I got one already. We'll talk
about Nice. All right, man. I would say it was a good time, but man, that fucking movie. I'm just kidding.
It was great. You fucking loved every minute of it.
It's all good.
You're gonna go watch it again right now.
I mean, I'm not saying I won't.
Except you won't.
But I'm not saying I won't.
Right. All right, brother.
All right, man. Catch you on the next one. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. Oh, wait, that's YouTube. Make sure you follow the Instagram at Mutant City Horror. Also, make sure you check out happyfrightfilms.com for all the details on the Happy Fright Film Festival going down October 18th and 19th. You can also check Instagrams for at Sean_Heights. Or at Fillmore Town Theater. Get all the info there. Hit us up on Instagram. Email the show, paul@mutantcityhorror.com or mutantcityhorror@gmail.com. And I feel like that's way too much information. So,
peace.
See you where we see you. Later.
I swear to God, you two make me ashamed to be in this lot of work.